And you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 17. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word again. So we're just looking at it. Help us understand. God, give us ears to hear and a heart to understand. And our God, we're going to look to you with thanksgiving. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, coming to the end of the upper room discourse. And at the end, God is in the prayer. He's God not only going to equip especially the 11 and then ultimately the 12 apostles, but he's by his word, the New Testament, that is going to be given. We are going to have the benefits of all of these truths because they're going to be given to us in God's word, by God's word, for God's glory. So we're going to have the information we need in order to hear with the ear and exercise with the heart. Now, chapter 17, and we share together in verse 21, that they all may, there's seven purposes, seven, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. A unique relationship God has, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, in a unique oneness. Second purpose, that they may be one in us, one in us. Second purpose, that the unique relationship God has, that believers ought to have the privilege of being united, sharing, participant, partakers, as we shared, in that same oneness, that unique oneness, like no other. Now, and thirdly, verse 21, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. This whole relationship is to bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again, and we are to be his witnesses, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And in order to what? We're representing Christ. That's why when you get saved, you're still here. And the body of Christ is to exercise itself. Here we are assembled together on the Lord's Day. And that exercise, that oneness. In verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them purpose, that they may be one, even as we are one. So, God, you're going to make possible the impossible, and you're going to bring together this unique relationship, verse 21. You're going to bring it together by your glory, and you're going to give the glory of God, glory, which is the evidence of the oneness. The evidence of the oneness is the glory. The oneness is already there. The glory is to show the oneness, the unique oneness. And so that's why he's giving it to us. Whose glory? His glory. His glory. The glory of God. Now, having said that, we're just expanding, looking, if we can, on this wonderful truth of the glory of God in a most wonderful way. So, having said that, in verse 22, God's glory and God's wonderful honor. So we are in have a unique oneness to God, to say the least. And remember that oneness is based on the cross. And in chapter 13, just turn a couple of pages over to remind yourself, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word become flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory God made himself, gave evidence of what God is like and who he is in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ demonstrated the glory, the evidence. The glory comes to God, the glory that came from comes from God. The Lord God put himself in human flesh, to demonstrate who he is. The human body of our Lord Jesus, the perfect man, united to perfect God, showed God. Jesus Christ is the glory of God. The Word become flesh. God has given us his glory. That is what he's done. He's given us his glory and honor. Now, hang on, in the light of that, and based on the cross. And therefore, that's why it's legit. That's why it is real. That's why it is true. Chapter 13, verse 31. You remember it. Therefore, when he was gone out, that's Judas, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. God is glorified in him. Verse 32. If God be glorified in him, God shall also be glorified and glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. So God is going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, is to glorify God. And you'll remember chapter 17 and chapter 17, verse 2. And they shall put you, chapter 17, verse 2. Look at my page, right? If I can. Chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, which is what we just read he did on Calvary's cross, chapter 13, 31 and 32. When he went to the cross, he glorified God. God's wonderful plan, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Verse 17, verse 1. The hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And then you will remember, verse 4, I have glorified thee in the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. For now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So the whole thing is to evidence God's awesome person. God is glorious. And therefore, wherever God is, you're going to know what? God, when God is there, God. How do you know God? His glory. God is glorious. Hang on now with that. Having that in mind, if you would, and keeping that, the glory in which God has given. And by the way, in verse 22 of chapter 17, that's in the perfect tense. In other words, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given. Glory, I have given the glory given. I've given it with a result that stays given. And not only do I have it, but use the same verb again, verse 22, I have given them. I've given them something that stays there. It isn't going to go away. It's God. God's wonderful, wonderful glory in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, the glory that belongs to Christ. Now, over to John while you're here, John chapter 8. And the glory, whatever the glory is that we've got, it belongs to him. And that's the glory that we have. So let's find it, understand it a little better. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, John chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 49. 8 and 49. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. Verse 50, if I seek not mine own, And verse 50, I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. I'm not after my own glory. He's perfect man. He's going to represent God in a perfect way. Therefore, man, 1,000%, looks to God, the perfect man, in a perfect way to represent God perfectly, the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ perfectly. If you've seen me, said the Lord Jesus, you have seen the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. John 14. Now, having said that, sliding down, verse 54. Jesus answered, and if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, to whom ye say that he is your God. Now, the word honor, glory. I honor. I don't honor myself. I honor God. God honors me that I might honor him. Let's hang on to that. Jesus Christ honors you in order that he might be glorified. I'm going to give you my glory. I'm going to give you something in order to, I give it to you, it's for me, so that you represent me. You represent me. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if I can, in God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful glory and honor and all that he does. Now, God, so when we receive the Lord as our Savior, that's what God's going to do, his glory. Now, things that you know, but put them together in a way that will help us, I hope. Now, over if you can, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the way, if we had looked at Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews 5, you don't have to turn there, 5:5, Christ is glorified. Christ is glorified. He says, I am not glorifying myself, Hebrews 5:5. That was to keep you awake. That was a pretty big ant. They get much bigger. I'm not coming up here. Now, therefore, if you see any, please tell us where you see them, that we might hunt them down. Because there used to be one, a whole nest up there, up in the point of the apex of the ceiling. And we had to go and get them. They were dropping down. So when you find them, don't just kill them. Mark the spot and tell us where you found the rascal. Okay. Now, in John chapter 8, our Lord is going to honor himself. In honoring himself, he's going to honor, how's he going to honor himself? By honoring God. He's going to honor God. Like you said, God created us in his image and likeness to be able to honor him. He didn't create us like angels. He didn't create us like a beautiful butterfly or a kangaroo. He created, not with instinct. He created us with no instinct, as we've shared. God created us for himself, for him to find himself and to make our image and likeness in God, like the mirror, to be able to go and reflect and enjoy God. God, like the mirror reflects you in a unique oneness. We're able to look to God, image and likeness, for God. So the car needs gas. Car's no good. Car's designed for gas. You are designed for God. We don't have instinct. We're able to enjoy. And when we leave God out, we're missing the whole ball game. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over if I can to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, if you'd pick up, When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you receive Him into your heart, John 1:12. And here is the statement, but note it again this time, in particular with our word. And John, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. When we receive the Lord as our Savior, God put gas in the car. God. When the believer receives the Lord in His image and likeness, God puts Himself in Christ in the heart. Car for the gas for the car. You got power for the light bulbs. God is the life. And that's when I receive the Lord as my Savior. I receive Jesus Christ. And what do you just read? We just read in John 17:22. I give them my glory. Perfect tense. And they have it. I'm giving them. How? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, when you receive Him as your Savior, God, Jesus Christ is the glory of God. When I receive Him as my Savior, He brings the wonderful God's awesome person into the heart of the believer, John, 2 Corinthians 4:6. And that, in the heart of the believer is able to enjoy a unique oneness with God that shows itself. Chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And you will note, please, 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory, same word we're looking at, we're going to look at it again, in the glass, the glory of the Lord, like in the mirror, are changed into the same image. Obviously, if we keep looking at God, the mirror is going to keep showing God. Think of James 1:25. We look into the perfect law of liberty. And as long as you're looking in the mirror, what's the mirror going to do? The mirror isn't going to show somebody else. The mirror isn't going to go and turn you off. You're looking in the mirror trying to fix something. It's going to show you. And every time you're there, everything you do, the mirror is reflecting you. True? So as we look to God, we are changed. We keep looking to God, we're going to be changed. Verse 18 again. But we are with open face, without any covering, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. It's God's doing. We can't keep looking to God without being changed in a most, most wonderful way. Now, having said that, how does this, I want to see glory. I want to see the word from a human standpoint. Over Galatians, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and picking up if I can, in verse 2, for in light of the context, 6 and 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet, you're giving, whatever, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do. In other words, I'm going to give, everyone pay attention to what I'm giving. Before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets. That purpose, what's the purpose of their giving? That they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They want glory. That's the whole point, to pay attention in a most wonderful way. So pay attention. Hey, do it again. Or if I can, O to John 12. John 12. And you'll see it. Here's John chapter 12, picking up the Pharisees. They want to show their glory. That's what people want to do. That's why people do things sometimes. And in John chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 43, 12 and 43. And you will notice, I'll read verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed in him because of the Pharisees, and what we just read about them. They did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. In other words, they want to be, have a good show, and they're going to go and show their prayers and their giving so that you pay attention to what's the evidence that they're good, their giving and their prayers. Listen to my prayers, listen to my giving, show my giving. That's their glory. The glory is what you see. Where's the glory coming? Where's the giving coming from? Them. Where's the show, these, etc. Here in chapter 12, verse 43. For they loved the praise, there's the word glory, translated praise. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise, the glory of God. That's why they do it. In other words, they did what they did, and as they did it, and they do it. And in the process, that's why sports people and that, people get higher, and one of the problems comes, you get so in golf or something, other thing, I've heard something, and people, the big stars, they won't even speak to you. They just shun you because they're way up here. They're glory. I'm the head man. I'm the best football, baseball, basketball, whatever it is, and my basketball, where does that come from? From me. I'm the one who threw the basket, etc. I'm the one who kicked the football. I'm the one. My glory. See my glory. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and that's true in all kinds of ways. Now, sliding over, if I can, in the light of that, to make that quick and easy, over to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory, there's your little word, of man, as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. All of it. Sports, whatever it is, we're trying to show something about ourselves. And we're trying to do that. That's our glory. A glory. If I had a general's uniform, I could be a general in a very humble, wonderful way, or I could be a general in a not so good way and be, I'm the general. Everyone stand up and pay attention. I'm the general, see? I'm the boss, see? That's my glory. I'm the general. Now, so here's the flower of the field. God said, you know that with John. Psalm 103 and all of those things. God said, listen, all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Therefore, I have a couple of illustrations that we have for you. Now, there's a flower. It's a fresh flower. It's still bleeding, so it's fresh. Now you got the flower. Now that flower is there, and that flower is going to become this. isn't it? So you say, no, it won't. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. That's what it's going to do. All of your glory and mine is this. We push and prompt and we get, and everything disappears. Think of people. When you look at yourself, you said it, you know it. Think of yourself. Look, if you find a picture of yourself when you were a teenager or something, and find a picture of yesterday, and then go look in the mirror at what you are today, I bet you won't even recognize them. I don't recognize me. I don't recognize me. I said, that can't be me. See? It becomes this. There's no way out of it. No way. This is this. Pretty easy. You're going to become this. I don't care who you are. I don't know whether you're big cheese, little cheese. You're going to become this. All of it disappears. All our glory. The glory I'm going to give them is mine. You don't need your glory. You need my glory. Do you understand the difference? If I don't give you my glory, you got none. You got no glory. Now, therefore, in the light of that, looking to God, God help us. So therefore, in the word glory, as we shared, in the Old Testament, you'll remember the glory, we looked at it a little bit ago when we were doing this. And the word glory, think of the three words that help you begin to grab it, is the word weight. The elephant weighs a lot. Now you take a little chipmunk next to an elephant, and you had to go and pick up one. Which could you pick up, the chipmunk or the elephant? The elephant weighs much. The weight, the glory of the elephant, he's big, heavy. It's his glory. It's his glory. The chipmunk looks at the elephant and tries to stay out of the way. Now, wealth. And here we are looking at wealth. And look at wealth. And look at the printing press in wherever they do it, in Treasury Department somewhere, wherever they make the money. And the Treasury Department, $100 bills, showing the news, you know. You'd like to reach in and grab a pile, but you can't, okay? Here they come. Hundreds upon pile, wealth. And you go to the store with your, you go to the McDonald's to go get your hamburger and a drink and French fries, $34, and you go and do that, and you go get your hamburger. Here comes the other person in, and he owns the restaurant. He owns all the restaurants. He owns all the McDonald's. He's the owner. He is wealthy. Weight of the elephant. The wealth. He owns it all. Wow. When I was in a ranch in Kansas one time with out candidating and whatever, in a church, it was a big cattle ranch, one of those big things with thousands of acres or something, and animals everywhere. And the owner took me out in his Jeep to get a glimpse of it, and I'd said, wow. And here's another guy with just one cow. Wow. The wealth, the worth, the weight, three words. Wealth, worth, weight. Glory, you got it. That which, the appearance of the reality. That, the appearance of the reality. The reality, here it is, and here's the flowers. The appearance of the reality. Here's the reality. There's the appearance of the reality. That which makes an impression on a person, to pay attention to a person, impression that is made, the reality, that's glory. The impression that is made. God is going to make, give you his glory in order that what? His glory, not my glory. Mine's no good. I look to God's wonderful glory, and God is going to give me the glory that belongs to him. So what? The evidence of the relationship, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is going to show what? Show. God's going to show itself. Here we are in this mortal body, body of death. But we're going to be changed physically, not just spiritually. We're going to be changed to have a body like whose? Like his body. So that we're going to have the glory to reflect the glory. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, God's, and that's the same when you have the little word in the New Testament, doxa. And that which shows wealth, worth, weight, the appearance of the reality, God's wonderful, wonderful work. The heavens declare the, Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The earth showeth his firmament. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now, and in the process, you know that telescope they sent out there near Mars somewhere, little spaceship out there. And out there, and they have that lens, I think it's, if I remember right, when I did all that, 21 and a half feet. Here's a lens on your glasses, and here's the lens on the telescope, and here's the lens on that. 21 and a half feet wide. The golden lens to collect light, to see beyond what we see. We already say this, 2 trillion. That's what they say. I don't know how you do that. 2 trillion galaxies, not stars. And you got all, and here's, I got a whole pile, someone gave them to me. Here's pictures, you can't see them back there. From that lens, looking out past, it collects all that light, 21 and a half feet, to see way out there and collect pictures that we could never see. Now, God said, when you can measure the universe, I'll change my word. Measure the universe. Now, did Abraham ever know this? Abraham had no idea of this. Not at all. Not at all. And here we are advancing in our civilization, our electronic age. Yay! We're going to go find where we came from out there. And we're going to go. And the more we go, now I don't know where the next thing they're going to build. It'll go on the other side of Pluto or something. Who knows where it goes? And take more pictures. And you're going to end up with what? You couldn't measure it. It is a finite expression of my glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. Who made this? God did. God did. He did it. He did that, and he did this. God said, see this? I want you to understand this, because I'm going to do something with you. I created you for my honor and my glory. I'm going to put gas in the car. Now, if I can, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful perfection, God's glory, his unsearchable riches, which makes an impression on us, so we can't do it. If you look at the sun shining at the apex in the height of the day, tell me if you go out when the sun's real bright and you're out there, does the sun's glory, are you conscious of the glory of the sun at high noon when you're out there? Here's the brightness of the sun, the glory of the sun. Can you deny it? Can you say there's no Son? No, you can't say there's no Son, because the Son's glory is everywhere, overwhelmingly so. We can't even look straight up at it. God's wonderful. The ocean. The ocean. If you were out in the ocean, I don't mean just in a lake or by the seashore. If you go out there in the middle of the ocean, anywhere, and you look, is the ocean is huge. Where is there no ocean? The ocean is what? Everywhere. The glory of the ocean says so. It is overwhelming. The ocean is overwhelming. To tell you it's there. To tell you it's there, the ocean. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God's awesome, awesome, wonderful, wonderful person. And God is glorious, irrespective of anything, anyone, anywhere, anyhow. God is just plain glorious, period. So when God does anything in creation, he does what he does in order to show his wonderful person of who he is. Now, that's what he did. So now he created Adam and Eve and all of that, and here we are. Now we need to get another piece of information that will help us. Over to Romans again. And Romans in chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, may I pick up, please, that which you're familiar with. And you will notice God's giving a treatise on the righteousness, that God provides a rightness that is impossible to have apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified by faith. Now, so in the process, so is showing us humans, chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The word hold, the verb to heaven to hold, they're holding the truth. So A, everyone born on planet Earth from Adam all the way down to the end of the millennium, everyone born is going to be God lets himself known to that person. Now what the... That has nothing to do with anybody, nothing to do with geographical location, and nothing. It just has to do with a person being born that he created. And he makes himself known. Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, made known, public, plain, clear, in them, for God, reason, it's in them, for God hath showed it unto them. No one else showed it except God. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, his deity, so that they are without excuse. What's the problem? Because that when, verse 21, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. God made himself known, like in the stars, the sun, the birds and everything, and they didn't want to know him. They just said, the flowers declare. Everything declares God. He's the creator. The stars, he's the creator. And God says, I'm the creator. And who's going to argue with him? Who's going to argue? There's no competition. There's nothing. So we're going to have to go and look to God. That's right. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. Genesis 6, the Genesis flood, and all of that. They just wouldn't do it. They didn't want to do that. Now they're going to give God glory. So God is doing what? I'm going to give you my glory. I'm going to send you, keep you alive on planet Earth, and you're going to have my glory, which they reject. They reject my glory. You're going to evidence my glory. That's what you're going to do in a most wonderful way. That's your whole purpose. To demonstrate what? As my Father sent me, so send I you. That's what I'm doing. Why am I, why, God? Why all the purpose clauses, seven of them, in Matthew 7:22 and then? To tell you your assignment. Your assignment is to show the glory of God. In other words, you have a unique relationship to God, as we've been sharing. Now, having said that, sliding down even, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of God, verse 23, into an incorruptible thing. They made God into a flower, into bugs, into a pyramid. They made God. They made God that, you see. They made God the stars. The stars are God. No, the stars aren't God. He created them. Astrology and all of that. Wow. Now, so therefore, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, etc., etc. Changed the glory of God, verse 23. Sliding over to verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God, to hold the heaven, to hold God, in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or fitting. In other words, that's where they got all the sexual problems and everything else. Because of what? God gave them up. God gave them up. They didn't understand, as you read the whole context. God gave them up. He did that. Now, and verse 32 adds to it. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also have pleasure in them that do them. They do the same thing. We all do the same. We all like it. We all like it. We all want to be flowers, and we're all going to die. So here comes, we're going to be this, but you're going to end up being this. And we're going to have all the other people died. Well, then, Hick, you can try this one. But then you're going to what? Die. There's no one showing anything except death. That's how we do. When everything is done, our intellect, our electronics, our space vehicles and everything. When we're all done, that's all we did, is show ourselves. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, in the light of John and in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, God's wonderful glory that he's going to do, we ought to be for his praise, for his glory. Now, so therefore, God is going to send us into the world to be his testimony, to be a testimony as we should. And we are always, 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 always in God's presence. And thus, God is going to do a wonderful thing. We're being in God's presence. We know it. We walk, we go to bed in God's presence. We get up in God's presence. We go to work in God's presence. We eat dinner in God's presence. We can never get out of God's presence. We're conscious of it. We're conscious of it. We're conscious of God's presence. The average person of 8 billion of us now isn't conscious. Religious system, counting the beads, do whatever you want. They aren't conscious of God. The believing heart is saved. God's grace, and God makes them, you're looking in fellowship, prayer, oneness, God's wonderful person, God's wonderful word. We hear and obey as we did in Sunday school in God's word in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So God makes himself known in a most wonderful way. So therefore, over if I can, to see it, over to Colossians. And in Colossians in chapter 3, picking up, and in Colossians in chapter 3, you would recall, in the light of all of that, if verse 3, for we are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's what you're going to do. Gone. Christ, who is our life, shall appear. You shall take us home, rapture the church, etc. He also appear. Then shall you also appear with him in glory. And remember what he's going to do? We can't look at it yet. John 17:24 and that. I can't wait. In my Father's house are many abiding places. I can't wait for you to be where I am. And then he says, I want you to see my glory, which I gave to you, which I gave to you, and you never understood how magnificent it was. I didn't give you an expression of the rich man or the sports hero. I gave you an expression of myself, and that you could understand. I am your God and your Savior. Wow. Wow. Now, hang on. Hang on. That's an awesome, 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 awesome thing. Chapter 1, Colossians. In the meantime, we're here. So God, I want to know. You give me your glory. Glory, a wonderful thing. Chapter 1, verse 27. Remember the mystery. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is the glorious, glorious, glorious thing that was never understood, but it now is made manifest and real among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. How do I know that verse, Colossians 3, 4? Christ is our life and he's going to bring us to his glory. How do I know? Christ in you is the what? Hope of glory. What do you want? You're already there. Christ in you is the glory of that which is to come. I want you to see what you had, who I am. You don't see it. I don't see anything. All I see is this. Maybe this. See? I don't know. I want you to see my glory. So we're looking at. I'm trying to get my little head to understand. I'm supposed to enjoy God's wonderful presence, God's wonderful person, God's glorious person, who is marvelous. I'm supposed to enjoy God. And when I enjoy God, the evidence is going to be glorious. Think of people you know, the people you know, and you've been with them for years, okay, and whatever you, just illustration. Now, if you were with them for 3 weeks, how much did you catch the glory of God with them? Were they excited? Oh, I'll get illustrations. Thank you for that illustration. Now, remember friendlies? You don't know friendlies. Ice cream, okay. And in the process, here's a banana split. Now, I'll advertise. Denny's, they used to have a great banana split. Man, do they give you a, forget that. Anyway, here's the banana split. And I'm going to have the banana split. Here it comes, and it is appealing. It's glorious. It's glorious. Ooh, you know, with everything, and a cherry on top, and everything. And there it is. Here it comes now. Wow, it's glorious. And you know, and as I like a banana split, I had one several years ago. Now here it is. Now here comes. I'm going to take my banana split. I eat my banana split. And I'm just sitting there, and you know what? I eat another banana split. I eat it some more. And the people at the other table, do they see that I hate the banana split? What do they see? that guy likes that banana split. The evidence that I like it, that I'm enjoying it, is the glory. Do you understand? That's the glory. I'm enjoying it. See the glory, you see? You've been with people for 3 weeks. What did you find? Where was their glory? The glory of something, something, somehow. The weather, the news, there must be something. Some shows the glory. Where does God fit into what you're looking at, what you're seeing, what you're eating, what you're doing? Where does God fit in? Where? Can I be with people for 3 weeks and never know anything? I didn't know any more about God from day one when I met you. So it should be the glory. And now, Ephesians, appreciate your patience. I hope you got a little. Ephesians. And in Ephesians, where shall we go? Oh, okay. If I can, without getting tied up, Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, this is the believing heart, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, highly favored. The word accepted, highly, only other place it's used, remember, is of the Virgin Mary. She's highly favored of God. Of all the women of the world, she was highly favored. She was graced to be able to bring forth the Lord Jesus in his perfect humanity. So, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us highly accepted in the beloved. Verse 12, that purpose we should be to the praise of his glory, which first trusted in Christ. What are we supposed to be? To the praise of his glory. God is delighted to be God. God knows you're going to be this. God knows you're going to be this. But God's delighted in what he's going to do. This is where you are. But God's looking at you here. And what he's going to do is glorious. It's glorious. Not this. Not this. What he's going to do is glorious. Wow. Christ in you, the hope of glory. My glory I give unto you. I can't wait for you to see it. I can't wait for you to be in my presence, to know how magnificent God showing himself in the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ. I want you to know what I did when I became a man. When I became a man, I put myself in Christ, and you can see me, who is invisible. Wow, I gotta quit. Our Father in God, thank you for all that you do and all that you aren't doing. And God, we're just trying to get a little bit, inch by inch, to understand, God, something that is so real, and all the rest of it fades away like the flowers. All our thoughts disappear, and all our feelings disappear, all our fears disappear, our disappointments, our discouragement, our depression, all of it disappears and must yield to your wonderful person who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our God, we thank you very, very, very much. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convince them and help us in every way. Thank you. Spirit of God, I thank you. In Christ's name, amen.